pass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Sort of sounds like our headlines from our news. Violence, inequity, spoiling and violence are before me. There's strife and contention. The law is slacked. The rule of law doesn't apply to everybody. And just those that commit violence are getting away with it. Those that are breaking the law are getting away with it. The leaders have turned away from God. The leaders, they don't even know you, Lord. And their violence and all this is happening. There's no judgment. He's calling forth God, bring judgment on this evil people. Bring them back to you. He wants his people, the people of the kingdom of Judah, to be judged righteously so that the revival that Josiah had started can come back. Now, God gives an answer, but it's not the answer Habakkuk was expecting. Because God's going to do something. He's going to bring judgment to Judah, just like he brought judgment to the northern kingdom of Israel. To them, he brought in Assyria, wiped out the kingdom, took them into captivity. But Judah's different. Judah's, you know, this is David's throne, David's protected throne. Surely God's not going to do the same thing with them, but that's exactly what God is about to say. In verse 5, God is now speaking. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. God even tells you, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. What I'm about to say is so shocking, and you're a prophet of God, and yet you're about to hear, you're going to have a hard time even believing this is really God. Verse 6, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, which is the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar, and they shall fly as the eagles that hastest to eat. They shall come for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand, and they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be sworn into them, and they shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. And then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this power unto his God. God's answer to Habakkuk's prayers, you think it's getting bad now, wait. I'm going to bring in the Babylonians, and they're 100 times worse than anything the Assyrians did to Israel. And they're nothing compared to, you're complaining about your leaders now and how bad they are? Wait till the Babylonians get here. That's how bad it's getting. And they're going to come fierce. It's going to be violent. And God is saying, this is God's words. They're bitter. They're hasty. They're terrible. Dreadful. They're going to have their own standard of judgment, and it's not going to be good for Judah. Now, Habakkuk's a little, you know, God said, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you, and then tells him, here comes the Babylonians are coming. Now, at this time, again, we're not exactly sure when it was written, Babylon may not have been even the empire that we know of it. You know, this is before or after Nebuchadnezzar has defeated Assyria, taken Nineveh. And then Nebuchadnezzar is going to defeat the Pharaoh from Egypt. And so Josiah was involved in that battle with Egypt. And so, again, this is shortly after that. Babylon's the new player on the game. You know, we knew about the evils of Assyria. We've known about Egypt forever. Now Babylon's the new kid on the block, you know. So how much Habakkuk really knows about them is just what he's heard, and, you know, it's not good. And Habakkuk's response, you know, in verse 11, O thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One, There's a question mark. We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. So he's saying Judah can't go away. You know, he knows the prophecies. He knows David's throne is not supposed to end. He knows this. Of course, he also knows Moses and saying, yeah, if you turn away from me, I'm going to send judgment. So Habakkuk is saying, yeah, bring judgment, but just, you know, how does Babylon fit into this? You know, and he makes an argument through the rest of the thing saying that, you know, Babylon's not the right. These are pagans. How can a pagan nation make the Jewish people holy again? Okay, there's supposed to be judgment, but, you know, he's thinking of how God had judged the kingdoms before. He brought up a judge. He brought in a prophet. He brought up a king that was holy, like Uzziah. And, you know, so Habakkuk is really confused about this. He knows God is holy and wiser than he is, but he's having a hard time really wrapping his mind around this, how evil Babylon is, and how is that supposed to make things better? We complain about our country and our leadership. How far back in the presidents do I have to go? Nixon wasn't the greatest guy, so we got Ford. Skip him. We got Jimmy Carter. You know, Ford was an afterthought. You know, you think the economy was bad. Jimmy Carter is happy because now the economy is worse than when he had it, or it's getting there. You know, Jimmy Carter got us to double-digit inflation, double-digit interest rates. And I thought, oh, you know, Reagan's the answer. Reagan wasn't perfect. You know, the war on drugs that made drugs worse. Iran-Contra affair, all the other things going on that we just now are figuring out may or may not have happened. And whether Reagan actually knew about it, we don't know. But there's a lot of stuff going on during his administration that doesn't, you know, wasn't good either. And then, of course, we go Bush 1, no more taxes, read my lips. and again, just no matter who was in office, which political party was in office, our country has steadily declined. We've had some ups economy-wise, but our holiness, you know, a good economy doesn't necessarily make us holy, you know. And too often that's what we're complaining about, you know. Just bought a house and the closing, they're saying, oh, you got a 6% interest rate. That's the best one we've seen all summer. You know, you know, it's like, yeah, a year or two ago, it would have been 3%, you know. But again, we look at the moral decline in our country from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000, 2010s, and now into the 220s. It's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. Things that we thought there's no way our country would ever accept 5 years ago, 10 years ago, is now plastered all over the media. We don't know what a woman is, and a boy can be a girl, and a girl can be a boy before they're old enough to figure out what their favorite lunchbox is. You know, we've got all sorts of decline. Churches are closing every year. Thousands of churches are closing every year. Just recently driving around, drove past, that looks like a older church building. Drove up, saw the new sign on it, Islamic Center. Of course, I've also seen churches that are now strip clubs, bars, and everything else in different parts of the country. At least in California, the strip club can stay open when the church has to close during pandemic. Again, that shows our moral decline of our country. And we pray out, God, send revival. Well, maybe God's answer to us is the same answer he had for Habakkuk. You think what you have now is bad. I'm going to bring judgment. And maybe it's a whole lot worse than we can even think of and comprehend. True persecution of the church. Now, we know Revelation and the, you know, what's going to happen with the tribulation and stuff, but we're not to the tribulation yet. And we have no guarantee that we're not going to face troubles in our times before the tribulation even gets here. Sometimes, you know, growing up, I've seen churches and stuff think, oh, well, you know, we'll be caught up in the rapture, we'll be good, no problems, and not realizing, well, there's still consequences to our sin and our actions now. And as a church body, we still need to be holy and have a testimony and witness to the truth and saying, yeah, the tribulation is coming, but we could very well face trouble here. Because I didn't see in my Bible that, you know, the United States of America will be totally free of any problems until Jesus comes back and then the tribulation. There may not be a United States of America when the tribulation starts. And that's sort of the idea here that Habakkuk is saying how bad it seemed to be in his time. And God's answer was, I'm bringing even worse judgment upon you. I'm going to use pagan nations to wipe out the kingdom of Judah. Maybe God's plan is I'm going to use pagan China, godless North Korea, the godless governor of California, you know, whoever, to bring further judgment. And don't, you know, think, well, he's just the governor of California. Yeah, he's one memory lapse away from being the next candidate to the Democratic Convention for president of the United States. Because he's right up there on the short list of, you know, who can replace Biden if Biden can't run. And if they don't think Kamala Harris can run a campaign by herself. And it was Governor Newsom who's the one that wanted to shut down all the churches during the pandemic, that wants to pass legislation that the state can take your children away from you so they can do gender surgery. Not the parents have any say to do it. That they've already legalized abortion up to every, you know, they would go after birth if they could get away with it. And they're that close. So yeah, it can be a whole lot worse than what we were thinking here. And God has done it in the past. He can do it again. But that gets us going, okay, that's not a very positive, comforting message, chaps. What's your point? You know. That was sort of where Habakkuk was there in, you know, chapter 1. This is not the way I expected you to answer my prayer. But also notice how Habakkuk responds to God. O Lord, my God, my Holy One. He knows God is God. He's no God is just. God is good. And God's going to judge. So God gives Habakkuk, it's hard time to say Habakkuk over and over again. God gives Habakkuk further answer in chapter 2. Habakkuk there in verse 1 says, I will stand upon my watch. This is the verse we read. And set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk says, yeah, I know you told me I wouldn't believe it when you told me. I don't believe it when you told me. And I expect you, and I've set what my complaint is, and I'm expecting to be corrected for it. But I know God and I trust God, and I'm faithfully waiting for his answer. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. So write it down on the tablet so that it could be preserved, that he may run the reading. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, for at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So we get to the key part there. All this bad stuff's going to happen. It's not happening yet, God's telling them. But it is coming. You have time to prepare. You have time to, as a prophet, to warn the people. And of course, pretty soon, his contemporary Jeremiah is going to be warning the people. Zephaniah is warning the people. you know, Jeremiah, we know Jeremiah is going to start telling people, Babylon's coming, Babylon's coming. And say, ah, yeah, you don't know anything. Look at, things are good. Judgment is coming. But the just shall live by faith. So even in the midst of the most difficult, challenging times, that when God answers your prayer in a way that you don't even understand, the just shall live by faith. And then God gives further answer to Habakkuk. Most of the rest of chapter 2 is God explaining that, yes, I know Babylon is an evil, even nation. They're godless people, and they will be judged also. So that can bring us comfort. Because when we get faced, whether it's a nation that's imposing their will on it, or the rude driver across the street, you know, that cuts you off, or whatever, your boss at work that doesn't agree with you, or co-worker or anything, God will judgment. Because we all will be judged. As is pointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. We're all going to face judgment. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar faces judgment. China, North Korea, Governor Newsom will face judgment. President Biden, former President Trump will face judgment. And God gives description of how he's going to judge Babylon. There's 5 different woes that he lists that Babylon is going to face. I'm not going to go into details. We know this Neo-Babylonian Empire would only last about 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar comes on the scene, makes a big impact, does a lot of stuff, but the Medes and the Persians are right behind him. The Medes and the Persians, you know, in the lifetime of Daniel. So Daniel's coming up here soon, you know. The lifetime of Daniel, the power went from Babylon to the Medes and the Persians. So God is using Babylon to judge Assyria, who judged Israel, the northern kingdom, and then he's going to use Babylon to judge Judah, the southern kingdom, and then he's going to use the Medes and the Persians to judge Babylon. And it just goes on and on. God uses people, God uses nations, God uses the powers, because ultimately, God's in control. And that's a big part, again, what brings us comfort, what brings Habakkuk comfort, is the big picture, God's in control. Individually, we have the freedom to do our thing, to follow God or not, but ultimately, everything's going to play out to God's plan. So what happens to China? What happens to North Korea? What happens to California? What happens to our lovely governor here in Illinois, Pritzker or whatever his name is? And the even more socialist mayor of Chicago, they keep on going, how socialist can they get it? I've only been here a short time, and they went from bad to worse there, you know. You know, just to clarify, I'm not a socialist. I do not promote socialism. Socialism is an anti-God evil. So, there, you know. And, yes, I do say that in the chapel at base, too. I get some weird looks, but I say it because that's what God says. Bad to worse will be judgment. God's going to hold us all accountable. And knowing that, okay, eventually, in God's timing, there will be judgment. Chapter 3 is, you know, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, and also in verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. So, yeah, God, he's just told him, there's going to be a lot of wrath coming. But, again, Habakkuk is praying for mercy, even in the midst of wrath. And we can pray for mercy, even in the midst of wrath. So no matter what our local, state, federal government does, the United Nations or China or Russia or somebody else, God uses them to bring wrath, we can still pray and expect God to show mercy. Verse 3, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and he was there with the hiding and the power. Before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth his feet. So, you know, again, this is a very, what you find, Old Testament prophecy type vision. And God's talking, or Habakkuk's talking and praising God. So it goes on to 19 verses and ends in 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet fast. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my string instrument. You know, always got to throw in a little musical direction because musicians need spiritual help. But the idea of this, you know, all this, this questioning, you know, where Habakkuk starts. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and there will not hear, to finishing with the Lord God is my strength, the God of my salvation. Habakkuk's faith grows because he knows judgment is coming. Our faith should grow because we know judgment is coming. Because our faith isn't in our country. I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. I just wish our leadership actually knew the Constitution of the United States and followed it. But that isn't what my hope is. My hope is in Jesus Christ, the Lord of my salvation. The songs that we sang, you know, I didn't pick them out, but they fit so well with He careth for me. Jesus is my friend. It is well with my soul. If you know the story of the song, It Is Well With My Soul, the author of that song, you know, lost his family at sea. And when he was asked, you know, they're selling back and to get the bodies or whatever, I forget the exact details, but, you know, as somebody asked him how he was doing, he lost his kids and stuff, and he says, it is well with my soul. And some of us, you know, we've had recent family tragedy in our church and all the drama and the continuing drama and tragedy that goes on with that, but we can come together as a church family and sing positively, it is well with my soul, and believe it and hold each other out. And we read Habakkuk and we see judgment on the big scale coming for the nation of Judah. And he can say, it's the Lord of my salvation. It is well with my soul. And we can close out tonight just knowing the just shall live by faith. It comes here in the midst of all this turmoil, of all this pain, all this suffering that's happening, and it's going to get so much worse. But the just shall live by faith, our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's no mistake, I mean, it's intentional that, you know, this is the verse that gets quoted over and over and over again in the New Testament. In Galatians, Paul says in 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. We don't trust in the law. We're trusting in Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross. In Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So again, it's not our righteousness. What makes us just is not ourselves. When it says the just shall live by faith, our justness comes from the righteousness of Christ that's imputed on us. If it wasn't for Christ, we couldn't live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. A little bit of a warning there. Not that you can lose your salvation. But again, what is your faith actually in? Even in independent, fundamental, separated, whatever you want to adjective, Baptist church here, it's quite frequently that you're going to have people that have been playing the game of church, but not really be truly saved. So as your thing, I'm telling you, God is telling you, judgment is coming. He's coming to this nation, to this world, and to us individually. And those that are going to live are those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. So make sure that your faith is in the right person. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message from the Old Testament, often overlooked but so important. We thank you for your judgment, for your holiness, for your justice, as painful as it is that go through it. We can still know that you are a God of mercy, and we thank you and praise you for that. So I pray for mercy for this church here. Pray that if there is anybody that's just playing the game of Christian, that tonight be the night of salvation, that they would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, not in their family, not in the fact that they sing songs, not in their offering, not in the right Bible they carry, but they're putting their faith and trust in Jesus alone, so that they can be made just and that they can live by faith. And help us as we face the challenges, whether it's personal challenges in our own life or the challenges that are coming upon this country as it turns more and more away from God. Help us to live by faith for your glory, for your honor, that you get all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.